Mr. Benedict De Souza, Real Tree. Mr. De Souza, can you tell us more about the Malaya Field Ambulance?
Oh, yes. I joined the Army on the 22nd of February 1941. I was not so much influenced as I was forced by my brother, who was doing something for the country as, well, not so much as in the Army, but in some other field. I applied to join the Royal Artillery around about 1940, I think, and having had to wait a long time for the reply, I moved off to a place in Sungai Petani because there was a job vacant for me there. 8 months later when I came down to Singapore and I was retrenched, I applied once more to join the Royal Artillery and was told that since I had applied before, I needn't apply again, and that was it, without asking me any further questions or without me having a chance to talk to him. Right, the next thing I knew, there were vacancies in the Royal Air Force for spotters. I applied for that, went for the interview, went for the medical test, and the person who tested me pressed my right eye so hard that when he took it off and asked me to read with my right eye and close my left eye, I was unable to immediately. I failed that exam because it was meant mainly for spotters, and to be a spotter you had to have very good eyesight. The next thing that cropped up in the newspapers was that they wanted people for the Royal Army Medical Corps. I joined up with my brother, my elder brother, and when I was asked to whether I failed any eye tests, I said yes, and having gone through the test with them, I passed 100%. So that was me applying for this post in the Royal Army Medical Corps with my brother behind me in the ranks. There weren't very many requirements. All you had to be was physically fit. You were not too old. You had good eyesight. And that was all. All we knew then, we were packed off to a certain, in a truck. I won't call it a truck, it was a lorry, and we had to proceed to Tanglin HQ, and there we were given our uniform. Whatever suited us, whatever was our fit, it was just thrown at us. We picked it up and we headed up for our camp. It was behind the Tanglin barracks, GHQ, and it was all just huts only. I didn't know anything about the Royal Army Medical Corps. I just thought that to myself, being a young boy, that since my father was a doctor, I'm going to join the medics. I thought I was going to be a full-fledged nurse, or maybe a young doctor. Well, we had to undergo 3 months training, and during those 3 months training we were not allowed outside the camp, and our pay was only $5 a week. We had to fend for ourselves for our toothpaste and soap and what have you. We had enough money to pay for that. We had our training on the square, which means our drills and what have you, in the mornings. And after a hefty lunch, we had to go to classes. And our classes lasted from 1 o'clock right up to about 4 o'clock. classes on first aid, classes on hygiene, classes on physiology, and first aid. But after having gone through for 3 months, we had, of course, to be passed out. And at the passing out parade, we all did well. And then we were given our full salary plus back pay. At that time, because naturally we were all just buck privates. We never had had a chance to know more than what we were. It was just plain sailing. We did that in the morning, did that in the afternoon until we were qualified or we had passed out. And then they transferred us in batches. Some went to Changi. I was in that group. And we were all housed under canvas. We lived under tents. We learned how to pitch tents, which means putting up a tent, and how to strike tents, which meant how to take it down, fold it exactly in the same size as it was taken out from a huge big bag. And we had to undergo that very, very, very thoroughly, because if we didn't do that in the way it had to be done, when we had to strike tent during the war and had to run, we'll only cause, you know, a lot of time being wasted. So, well, we managed to go through that. But the hardest tent to be pitched was the operating room. It was about five times the size of our normal bedding tent, we used to call them, where we had like six camp cots, space to walk in between, and that. But this operating theater, as they called it, was about five times bigger than that. It was a huge one. It had a huge center post, as almost as big as the ones you see in the circus. And to pitch those tents, of course, we had, 12 of us soldiers. And even then, we felt it wasn't big enough. We needed more. But the war is war. They didn't care whether you needed 10 or 12 or 8. If you got to do it, well, you got to do it. Even if we have to break our bones. And after training there, we were posted out to our own camp then, which was somewhere in Changi also, but further up what we used to call Changi Point, nearer to Changi Point. And there we had, we were under canvas as well, but we had certain offices, our cookhouse and our guardhouse. It was something more solid. Well and good. It was there that we were asked what trade we wanted to take up, apart from whatever we were undergoing as a medical orderly. My brother chose the office, I chose the cookhouse. Not because there was going to be more food there, but in the end I really regretted, because there was more work than more food. And I was made up to Lance Corporal then, after about a month and a half, because I passed all the tests. And it wasn't long after that I was made up to sergeant, to corporal, full corporal. And then I was made up to acting sergeant. Well, from the time I was made up to corporal to the time I was made up to acting sergeant, we had our usual hard times in the camp, having had to attend duties at night, and some hardships when it rained, but it was all fun. Now this, I must tell you this, This unit was formed somewhere early 1941. It was only formed. How many people joined? I do not know at that time. I can't remember. But well, how the formation was, I wouldn't know. But I only know that I was the ninth person to join the unit.
Which unit?
The number one Malaya Field Ambulance. I reckon it was formed because we needed people in the medical corps. We needed people to look after the sick, after the dying during the war. Now, we were initially told that we were going to be trained and we were going to be sent right up to Kota Bharu, Kelantan, where we were expecting the enemy to come down from the Thai border. And we were told that it was going to be in 4 like those who were right in the front line, they would have been sent right to the top. Those who were trained fully would be sent to Kota Bharu, Kelantan, or anywhere near that. And then the next batch were going to be trained, were come down lower down the peninsula. Well, we didn't have that opportunity because the Japanese came earlier than that, and hence we did not have the opportunity of really going into the thick of the war. Before the Japanese bombed Singapore, two of Britain's biggest warships was somewhere in the area. They were bombed. One was the Prince of Wales, I think. And we needed every able-bodied man in the hospitals. We had our main hospital in the hospital called Alexandra Hospital, which is still called Alexandra Hospital. They had to use all those, as much personnel from there, and as well as from our number one Malaya Field Ambulance. I might as well tell you now that whilst we were undergoing training, they formed another unit called the Rickshaw Unit. People who were not well educated in English or had very little education in English, and they were to be used as in the field under us as stretcher bearers or stretcher carriers, as they were called, or help anywhere in the field, whether there were ambulances who needed washing or needed people to carry the wounded or the sick. They were also called in. Now, we had in our unit, we had one colonel initially, one captain, we had about 3 or 4 sergeants, same number of corporals, and about the same number of lance corporals. They were all British other ranks. After we were made up, we had more captains, either from other units or from our own unit being made up. I must tell you also that we had people down from India. They were called Indian other ranks as well as British other ranks. Now, the officers who joined us were from the British other ranks, and there were some sergeants and corporals also from that group. They joined us in the hospital as well as in the camp. Now, we didn't have groups. It's just that we had either one captain, or we were short of personnel, we had one sergeant, or if we were short of sergeants, we had one corporal who was either acting sergeant or who had many years of experience as a corporal to be in charge of each group. Well, a group could have been, if my memory serves me right, anything from 7 up to 21. Our main responsibilities were to bring in the sick, to give them first aid as and when we were, or as and where we were posted to. Now, I was posted to the Malay Regiment. At that time, they were in what we still have now, a place called Tanjung Penjuru. It's all made up, of course. But we were all just jungle, and we had to cross by river or stream. Or it was a long way in by lorry. Now, it was in this, my functions as a corporal, and I had one private under me when I was attached to the Malay Regiment. But it so happened that in the frenzies that took place, we had to disperse. The Malays went their way and we went our way, because we hadn't that amount of discipline that we should have had. We were told, well, you go back to your camp and they will fend for themselves. It was in our route looking for our members that we came across members of the Malay Regiment from some other group near us. We joined them. And I remember distinctly that we hadn't any food left. We had rice, we had Chinese sauce, we had chilies, and we went round and looked for whatever leaves or grass we could find, and we found some sort of grass that looked edible, cooked that with the chilies, with the sauce, and with our rice, and that was our meal for 2 nights and 2 days. And we had some water from our water bottles, and from the boys of the Malay Regiment, and that was about all we had. Oh yes, I must tell you that our salary then was, I said, $5 a week. I mean, we finished our training in 3 months. We had our back pay, which amounted to nearly $100, and we thought we were millionaires. And we were also being paid in 25-cent brand new notes. So we used to strut about every week with our army jackets full of 25-cent brand new notes. Now, the people who joined us initially were supposed to be Singapore Eurasians. Then, as the interest grew and we were short of our own people, they took in people of other nationalities. We had Greeks with us, we had Jews with us, we had Indians with us, we had half Indians with us, we even had some Chinese with us. But they just took us in as if we were one big family. The recruiting part of it took place, I think it was in the newspaper or by word of mouth. We had a jolly good time before the war, as the war was getting imminent, and even during the war. We had a nice little you know, get together amongst ourselves, we didn't hold any distinction between color or rank. The corporals mixed up with the sergeants mixed up with the privates. I, of course, mixed up with anybody. And it didn't mean much to us. We were all just worried about the war, and the war. When we first joined, we were told that, you know, we are going to fight, so get prepared. And we were prepared for it, but we were not anxious for it to take place so quickly. You know, we just got to know these people. They were new batch of crowds we met, new friends, quite nice guys. So who wanted a war? After the outbreak of the European War, there was no thought of the Japanese ever coming in. We didn't suspect that the Japanese were going to take part in any war. And when the war in Europe grew worse, as far as I can remember, we never gave it much thought as to what was going to happen to us. All we were worried about was our families and our stomachs. There was no time for any, there was no necessity, there was no time for training after the war, or during the war, because we were just posted from place to place.
Mr. D'Souza, you mentioned that you were forced by your brother to join. What do you mean by that?
Well, we were jobless. Well, I was jobless. Well, we were jobless because I just moved off from one company, and he, being the eldest in the family, he was actually my guardian. And he said, well, you better do something instead of, you know, doing nothing. Go and look up something, and maybe they want some people to join up here, there, and everywhere. So, of course, I went, and I didn't want to hear his nagging every day, but that was one reason.
But why the army? Why the army?
That was the last thing left. The Civil Defense Corps. We had I forget the names. He joined one of those. We had the Singapore Volunteer Corps. I didn't like that because I used to call them sissies. They were Singapore's last hopes. I thought if I joined the army, downside better. We would have been in the forefront.
So when you joined the army, you were considered a regular.
That is correct, and we became under what we call the BORs, which meant British other ranks. We had the same facilities as the white man, and we had the same rules and regulations as a buck private. Of course, in the army you can't join as a buck private. You can't mush about into the corporal's mess, the sergeant's mess, and of course the officer's mess. And we had the same kind of meals. It was English meals. At the same time, we had Asian meals, but most of it was English meals, Western food, as you would call it.
Can you remember where did you go to register?
This took place in GHU in Tanglin.
The place where you apply for joining the army.
The RAMC.
GHQ stands for General Headquarters.
Headquarters, correct.
When you were there registering, were there a lot of people?
Yes, there were a lot, but it so happens I was in the first lorry that took us there, and I was the ninth man to be registered. My brother behind me was 7532510. I was 7532509.
Who were the people there who were registering?
They were all army personnel. We had a captain, Captain Murphy. I remember his name very clearly, Captain Murphy. And we had sergeants, a few others I wouldn't know.
When you registered with them, did they ask you, or rather, when you were in the army, were there any kind of discrimination between the British and the local people?
In that way, we were mingling in clubs in the town area, or when they met us on the road and we were not walking as soldiers did, or we didn't live up to the standards of the white man, they did pass a few remarks or things like that. But generally, they had to accept us whether they liked it or not. We could go into their clubs elsewhere. We could, there were, I forget the names of the clubs meant for us. We could go there. So of course, like the old saying, a white man is a white man, and they didn't like us blackies. But I think one or two instances where there were fights, and it was not so much the color bar, it's because our boys maybe did misbehave and they said, okay, this is not the way you should behave with a white man, and they did have a few scuffles. But apart from that, they had to take us as we were, as if their own. Those who did not know about it, maybe did take were a bit rude, but after putting them right, you know, they looked upon us as one of them. But generally, as I said, they were okay. But what they thought about us, I don't know. We fought alongside even with the Aussies when they came down to Singapore. And the New Zealanders. Of course, those in our camp were one of us. We ate together, we slept together, we went to the mess together, went out together, went to the gaff. Gaff is the local pictures, and things like that. They got accustomed to it eventually.
When you were there the first time, registering with the people there, how long did it take, the whole proceeding?
Oh, very, very, very quickly. Because we were just waiting for people to come in, they were waiting for recruits to come in, pack them off, get them into their uniform, into their beds, and of course discipline us as soon as possible, because they wanted to train us quickly and send us out, as I said early on, right up to Kota Bharu if required.
So on the very day that you report, you register, that day you were sent to the camp to be given your uniform?
Yeah, and the same time we had it was a very short lecture what we had to do, and we had a book that we had to learn about physiology and what have you, what we had, how to keep our boots spick and span, our clean and shiny, our bed spick and span, how we had to we we